Bonnie for leaving this here. Go ahead and turn that on, Bob, when you get a chance. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to get into the message in just a moment. And it's, brace yourselves, it's a long one today. You know if I'm serious? You'll find out. How many of you know Amy Register? Raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amy has been working hard and doing a phenomenal job with our young people and with Bible study interest in the church. She is packed. She's fully loaded. Her schedule is completely booked at the moment, and there's no room. She's been here 6 months, almost now. And we have met as the board of elders and talked about keeping her here. And we want to, she's not here right now, by the way, because I can talk about this. This is her weekend off. So, Amy, you're not in the building, right, anywhere?
No.
Okay? Okay. So, no. So, we talked about it as a board of elders, and we would like to keep her here. Amen?
Yeah.
And she's locally funded here, so you're donations to the Cross Trainer Fund make a huge impact on keeping someone like Amy here. And I want to thank you for that because those funds are up right now. So thank you for that. If you feel impressed, God impressing you to give more to that fund on your tithe envelopes, mark Cross Trainer, and Randy will put it in the appropriate category. The main reason I'm bringing this up is we're going to offer Amy another year to stay here. And you know, here's how much Amy wants to serve. You know what Amy said to me? Because I asked her, I said, Amy, what do you want? What are some things that you would like us to do for you? She goes, well, there's a few things, but she goes, you know, I want to do what's best for you. She goes, the number one thing I want is I want people to come on Bible studies with me. And I said, really? You don't want a pay raise? You don't want us to pay for some more education classes? You don't want funding for more books or software? No. No, I want people to witness for Jesus. That's her desire. And Amy has been having a hard time getting people to go with her to Bible studies. Now, let me tell you how easy this is, okay? If you go to a Bible study with Amy, there'll be a chair there or a nice couch and maybe some food. And here's what you have to do. You have to sit down, okay? And you can pray silently while she does the study and smile. Okay, you don't have to give any answers, or you don't have to teach, you don't have to preach, you don't have to, nothing. Just be with her. And then when she's done and she has a prayer, and you've seen how it all rolls out and how it works, and you've seen God do some really cool things, you get up and you go home. And it's about 45 minutes. How many of you could do that? Let's see, let's get a view here. How many of you could sit down with Amy for 45 minutes and go through a Bible study with her, right? And there's some people here who have done Bible studies. How have you liked the Bible studies, Robert? You've learned a lot? Yeah. And you've been staying with Amy now for 3 to 4 months. And I've come over, and Amy's, Lynette's come over, and has she brought other people too? Yeah, okay. So here's what I want to do this morning, because I think Amy's a little discouraged right now because she's asking people to go with her, and you know what? People aren't going. Here's what you can do this morning. Right now. I want to overwhelm her, okay? Here's the thing. If you can go and sit down with Amy for 45 minutes, just you can go once with her. You don't have to go every week, okay? Just say, I would like to go on a Bible study with you. I want you to text her right now. I want to flood her phone. I want her to text me and say, what did you do, Pastor Josh? I don't know. All these people want to do Bible studies with you. So, you know, I would just appreciate that. So if you pull your phone out and you could do that and commit to that, I would really, really appreciate it. And Amy would too in the long run. So I'll leave that up for just a moment here. We're going to get started. All right. Do you guys all have the number at least? I see a lot of phones out, so I just want to make sure you have the number. So I might go to the next slide in a minute here. We are going to overwhelm her phone right now. Okay. All right. How many of you know our church vision statement? You know the vision? You know the mission? Yeah. What was it?
United in Christ and serving with love. Committed to God.
There you go. Committed to God, united in Christ, serving with love. So today is obviously our last short message about serving one another in love. Let us pray. Father, it's great to be here this morning, worshiping you, being in your presence, Lord. Father, as we get ready to have communion and break bread and partake of the wine, Father, we want all of you. We don't just want to use words this morning. We want to be unified in the Spirit. We want to be challenged to serve and step up more and more and more. Why? Because that's the kind of God you are. You're the kind of God who humbled yourself and served us. And so, God, we want to put Jesus on this morning and be influenced in mighty ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Serve one another in love. You know, I asked my father-in-law this morning if he would sing a song for us, and he said he wasn't quite practiced. It was a bit late notice, and he said he actually got some flack for this song. You sang it at another church somewhere, and it's a song by a man. Is it by Bob Dylan? Is that who wrote it? Yeah, okay, Bob Dylan. And I'm just going to read a few of the verses here. It says, "You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion, or you might live in a dome. You might own guns, and you might even own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody, right? Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." How many of you know that song? Or have heard it before, right? What was that, from the 70s? Is that right? Carrie's like, yep. Yep. We're going to have to serve somebody, right? We have an entree delivered to us, and two entrees, and the entree is God or Satan, right? It's pretty simple. There's really no middle ground. I think they call that Laodicea, and we're going to talk about that next week. Next week I'm going to be preaching on Revelation and the Laodicean church. So be here for that if you would like to hear Laodicea. But we got to serve somebody. We got to serve someone. Galatians 5:13-15, if you turn there with me in your Bibles, say serve somebody when you get there. Galatians 5:13-15. Here's what it says. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the what? For the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another." Through love, the love of Christ, we're to serve one another.
you know, Paul here mentions that we are called to what? At the beginning there? First sentence? Freedom. What is freedom? What is freedom? Definition. What was that? Being allowed to choose what we want to do, right? Would you agree with that? What would you say, Oscar? I heard your voice over here. Ability to choose, okay. You're copying, I see, okay. That's good. Choose, right? Freedom. What else? What else comes to mind when you think of freedom? To do what you want? Okay. No guilt. Right? The right to choose. I actually have the definition up here. Freedom. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Absence of subjection to foreign domination or government. Right? The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved is another one. Right? So what are some freedoms you have in life now? In the United States, let's say. Worship. Okay, we're free to worship here in the United States. What else? Speech, right? Although those are being taken away from us little by little. Freedom of press, okay. Right to assemble, right? What additional freedoms would you like? Very much so. Very much so. You know, Paul here says, hey, you are called to freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin, right? He says, hey, you can live with the freedom from sin. And if you don't have sin, you don't have condemnation. And you're guaranteed and granted what? Life and eternity, amen? But Paul here is talking to the Galatians and he's saying, hey, you're dabbling on the line with some things because you're confused. You're mixing your own righteousness with that of the imputed righteousness of Jesus. I have some text I want to just read quickly. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. What does it mean to be a slave to sin? What does that mean? No freedom. There's no freedom. You're in bondage, right? You're entrapped. Is no food or water. Yeah, that's true. What are some things that believers are kept from doing when they're involved in a pattern of sin? That could happen, I guess, if you're doing certain things. John? The inability to forgive, okay. If they're in a pattern of sin, what are believers kept from doing? Well, those who are in the flesh, right? You're either in the flesh or you're in the spirit. Those who are in the flesh are not, what does that say, Ron? Pleasing God, right? You know, when I sin, and I do, am I out of God's grace? What?
You dropped the soap, you don't do it out for
okay. No. But Paul says that he reminds us that there is victory in Jesus. There is freedom in Jesus. And he wants us to experience that. It's that cleansing power that only Christ has that we can obtain. Amen? And that's where Paul is really shining here. He's saying, hey, you're in freedom in Christ. It's vital that you remember that. Because when and if you do slip, Jesus is there to pick you up and bring you back. The natural person, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, I have a friend that I roomed with in college years ago when I was studying business. And this friend went on to go into the ministry. And he had a falling away. And he's still away to this day. And you know what he said to me? The first time he told me that he was walking out on God, he said, "Josh, I have volunteered at this camp. I have given Bible studies here. I have preached. I have taught. I have. And look what God has done. Look at the situation I'm in." And he's an intellectual guy. He goes, "I know what you're going to say. You're going to say A, B, C, or D." And that's what I was going to say. Bible text, a question, and a comment. Could I change his mind? No. What I've come to realize over the years, and we've talked about things, we still do, is that he's made his life a life of going through the motions without actually submitting and believing in a greater power, God, a greater being. And being led spiritually to discern things. You know, we talked about in Sabbath school this morning about the Holy Spirit and how, you know, some are granted a little faith and others are granted more, but we all get a measure of faith and we're all to use that. And you know, we may experience doubts at times. That's normal. That's okay. When the going gets tough, we need to stick it out and ask God to come in and help. Amen? Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Almost done here. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Another verse that goes along with the last one. And this one here, for every beast, every kind of beast and bird and reptile of the sea and creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Is that a good one? No human being can tame the tongue. In other words, we need the Spirit of God to help us. We're not going to get to heaven on our own accord. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can do that. Paul here in Galatians is really talking about two options we have. One is we can abuse freedom because we were granted freedom. We can abuse freedom for self, right? Or we can use freedom to serve. And Paul is calling us to number two. He's saying, hey, use your freedom to serve, because if you use your freedom for self, it doesn't end well. It's like having a great meal where the food is bad, and you get home, and you know what happens when you get food problems. You're stuck at home for like 3 days drinking charcoal water, right? Use your freedom to serve. You know, serving, going off of last week and talking about being unified in Christ and how we can be unified in Christ only through the putting on of Jesus, only through asking Jesus to come into our hearts. It's the same thing here with serving. We can only serve in the capacity that God wants us to serve when we put on Jesus. When we say, God, I give you permission to have my mind and heart. I recognize what you did on the cross, and I totally appreciate and love you for doing that for me. You know, this morning we're going to be partaking of communion, and we're going to break in just a minute here and go our separate ways. We have a room over in the fireside room. Correct me if I'm wrong, Elmer. Is that the, where's the rooms at? So you'll the deacons will direct them in there? Okay, we have more people here today. That's good. Is the parking lot full? Yeah, you had to walk.
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we're gonna separate just in a moment for communion. If you walk in the fellowship hall, we do have foot washing. We do have open communion here. That means regardless of, you know, your religious background, you're welcome to participate with us in communion in both the foot washing and the bread and the wine. And that means anybody and everybody can do that. It's up to you. And so as you go and you prepare to serve one another and humble ourselves, I know it's not always the most epic thing in the world to do, to wash someone else's feet. But I think it really brings to mind what Jesus went through and how he humbled himself. The God of the universe humbled himself and said, I'll wash your feet in service. And also the cleansing that takes place. It is a beautiful thing. I love communion for the simple fact that it reminds us of our Redeemer and what he paid for. But also it gives us a launching pad, if you will, a new start to say, God, cleanse me and my wife and my marriage, if you go with your wife, or you go with another person, you know, cleanse them by the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. And so right now we're going to separate, and we're going to also have a children's story. So if you don't want to go do the foot washing, men in the back room here, the men's room is going to be over here. The family room is in the fellowship hall, and the women's is down the hall on the left in the fellowship hall. So we'll go ahead and separate right now. It'll be about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back, and we'll partake of the bread and the wine, and then we will have lunch. Thank you all. Cooler regulation. We don't do communion every week, but we do it once a quarter just to remember what Jesus did for us. I just want us to just stop for just and pause for 30 seconds and take in the fact that Jesus gave everything for you and me. Everything. As they pass this out, they're going to put some words up on the screen. And you're invited to sing along or to meditate on the words. Hear them. We have two songs we're going to go through as they pass these out this morning.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh yes, he washed it white as snow.
Sing, oh praise the one.
And oh praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, and all the earth rejoice. And he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Sing that again, how great is our God.
And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God.
On the night when the Lord Jesus was handed over to be killed, he took bread, and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke the bread and said, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this to remember me." Father, right now we are remembering you and this amazing, amazing thing that you did for us. Let it change our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take and eat.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father God, as we drink of this cup, pray that we will be reminded daily of this new covenant, the freedom that we have in you, the freedom that we have because of the blood that you shed for us. And that, Father, we would take advantage daily of that cleansing. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take and drink.
And drink this cup. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're called to believe, to accept, and to proclaim. You know, Bob, if you could put up the song in the back, "Jesus Paid It All," I'd like to close out this service with that song one more time. Let us stand together and sing this song about how Jesus did pay it all.
'Cause Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Sin had left
a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Father, as we leave this place, we realize and we recognize that we've not just spent time with you, but you've come to indwell in us. And so as we leave as people with the living God. Father, we know you desire to go back to our homes and our workplaces and be influences for you. So Father, bring us some mighty divine appointments this week. And may we recognize and trust you every step of the way. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.